Hi everyone and welcome to Tim Topham TV episode 6. This episode we're talking all about online studio promotion and marketing, and I have a very special guest, Martin Croston, who we'll be talking to in just a moment. But before we get started, I'd like to thank today's sponsor, which is Music Teachers Helper, which is the best online software solution for managing a private studio that I've found. If you're still looking to sort of keep track of invoices and student details, tax records and book loans, if you're still doing that on spreadsheets and bits of paper, then you're really wasting your time these days. Music Teachers Helper is online scheduling and billing software, which you can access from any computer, phone or tablet, and that will literally save you hours every month in studio admin. I use it myself and I'm a huge fan. One of the coolest things I've found that you can do is automatically email lesson reminders to students and parents to reduce the chance of missed lessons. And this is particularly great if you work with rotating timetables, as a lot of teachers in schools in Australia do. You can even build a studio website for free right in the program, and it comes with a companion practice app for students, so you can see exactly how much your students are practicing. It's really, really cool, and I'm really pleased that Music Teachers Helper is sponsoring this podcast. There's heaps more features, but the best thing to do is head to www.musicteachershelper.com/Tim, register for a risk-free 30-day trial, and if you choose to continue your access, you'll get 20% off for your first month. So the link again was www, and you need that to get to this page, www.musicteachershelper.com/Tim. So my guest today is Martin Croston. He's a jazz pianist and piano teacher based in southeast London. He's performed throughout the UK, Canada, Russia, Spain and the US as a solo pianist and with numerous groups. He studied in the UK, in Russia and the USA, and he currently teaches jazz piano. He's a session muso and performs at weddings and functions in London and the home counties. Martin, welcome, and thank you so much for joining
us. Pleasure. Thanks for this opportunity. It's great.
No problem. So can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, sort of your studio numbers, what kind of ages you teach, or do you do more performing? How's your kind of your day-to-day teaching versus performing?
Yeah, I mean, I teach pretty much a full studio, about 50 students a week in London, in around London areas. I also teach in one or two schools. As well, just to add some variety, but pretty much full Monday to Friday. I try not to teach any teaching on weekends. I want those free. I need to have a break occasionally from teaching.
Yeah, I learned that lesson a little while ago. It's hard sometimes to wean yourself off, but it makes a difference, doesn't it?
Need to recharge, yeah. And that's obviously weekends is when I do performing as well, more performing, whether it's a gig with my band or solo sort of performance at a wedding or function or something. So it's good, I think it's important for teachers to have that balance. I think if you just teach and nothing else, it can sort of weigh you down. I think you need to perform, you need that kind of release, creativity and so on.
Yeah, and performing can be sort of accompanying, can it? Or it can be any kind of church performing or bands or whatever.
Yeah,
I tend to agree. Yeah. Yep. So hopefully my readers will know your name, because I did a review of your ebook, which was How to Find Music Students and Promote Your Teaching Business. And I found out about this probably 6 months ago or thereabouts. And I just loved it. I thought this is gold for music teachers. Mm-hmm. And this isn't actually specific to piano teachers. It's for all music teachers. Because we a lot of us don't really get the online kind of process, how that all works. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me, what's the premise behind your writing the ebook? Because it sounds like you pretty much, you know, you do a lot of teaching and performing. How have you come to be have a bit of specialty in this area?
Yeah, I'm trying to thinking back now. I got into internet marketing a few years ago. Whilst I was teaching all my teaching lessons and so on, piano lessons, one of my friends gave me a book called Search Engine Optimization for Dummies. You know, one of those.
Yep. The yellow and black books.
The yellow one, yeah. And this is kind of a few years ago, and I really, you know, was reading it, really got into it, and I kind of optimized my pages on my website to try and get more weddings, getting more. I didn't think about teaching at the time, to get more sort of weddings and functions and so on. And it worked. You know, I was right high up in the rankings. And I thought, this is interesting. And then I came across a forum called Warrior Forum. It's an online internet marketing forum. I just came across it, and then it kind of grabbed me. I sort of seeing people how they can earn money on the internet, basically from different sort of sales of different in different niches and so on. And over the past couple of years, I was kind of looking at all this sort of stuff and getting quite interested into it. And I learned a lot about the online sort of marketing and so on. Tried a few different niches and different other things, didn't work out. And then more recently, I've just tried to apply what I've learned, learned quite a lot over the last couple of years, to music teaching. And I've created this book, put the two together effectively, trying to make it, so all these tips, all the stuff I know, trying to make it work for music teachers to help them find more students effectively.
Yeah, it sounds great, and that's exactly the title, How to Find Music Students and Promote Your Teaching Business. So while the title doesn't say anything about online, the focus definitely in the book is about online promotion.
Yeah, it's more... Yeah, so I mean, there's a little chapter on offline as well, because you need to do both. But yeah, it's more. I think there's more emphasis on online. That's fair. That's true.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, how important do you think the online presence is for piano teachers? So, and you know, anyone in a country town or a big city, I can imagine teachers going who don't have an online a website or anything going, oh, this is I can't be bothered. It's too hard, and I've already got quite a lot of students. How important do you think it is?
I think it's essential. I mean, I've had this sort of debate with other music teachers. There's obviously different Facebook groups and so on with piano teachers, and I've sort of mentioned that I think it's essential. Some say, "Oh no, word of mouth's fine." You know, some say that. It's, "Oh yeah, I've never advertised." They say this. Oh, some people, "I've never advertised at all. I just teach, and then more students come." And I'm like, "Oh, that's great. That works for you." But I think unless you've got a sizable numbers, unless you've got a solid base number of students, I think you could be waiting a long time.
And
don't forget, there's more and more with all the colleges. I don't know if it's like in Australia, but in the UK, and certainly when I was in America as well, there's so many students, you know, in colleges just being, you know, churned out every year. The competition is getting higher and higher of music teachers, so you're going to be competing with other sort of graduates and so on. You need to find some way to put yourself out there. You need to expose your brand, your business, in as many places as possible, just to give yourself the greatest chance of finding students.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you think back to perhaps when I was learning, you know, 20, 30 years ago, I think my teacher, you know, she obviously wouldn't have had an online presence, and it would have been fine because she was in her area, and a little bit of word of mouth, she had full studio and she was a fantastic teacher, all that kind of stuff. But now, as you say, parents are pretty internet savvy. I would imagine a lot of parents, the first thing they do when they need a teacher for their child is they'll jump on the internet. If they haven't got a connection with the word of mouth, with, you know, someone that they know who's learnt from somebody.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think word of mouth is the best way. It's the most effective way. If you're teaching, I don't know, little Johnny or something the piano, and his mum likes how he's progressing, and then she speaks to her friends and say, "Oh, I know he's a great piano teacher. You've got to, you know, go check him out. He's brilliant. I really recommend him." They're going to call you, and they're probably less likely to sort of quibble over the price and look around because they trust their friend's judgment. Yeah. So it's still, but you can't just rely on that, I think. You can't just keep waiting for it to happen, I think.
Yeah, oh, I agree. Okay, so let's say we're going to go, yep, we believe we need an online presence. What does that look like? Because there's obviously a few ways you can go down, you know, your own full website, or do you have a listing on something else? What's your thought?
Yeah, as I said, you want exposure everywhere. You've got Google, Facebook. I've got a list here. I mean, Google, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, online directories like Yale.com and other local directories. Some are easy to set up. I think, like with, for example, like Yale and the business directories, you can literally just put your name, link to your website, done. You know, we can just leave it and just hope. I mean, I think you can pay, even on those online directories, you can pay a little bit more. You can pay a bit of a premium each month and they'll put your site higher up.
Oh, yes.
That's something to test for yourself. I've never done that personally, but so you see some pretty sort of sponsored listings at the top, you know, for music teachers and other sort of subjects as well.
Yeah, and that was Yell, did you say? Y-E-L-L?
Yeah, well, that's in the UK. I don't know if you got that in the US or...
Don't have it in Australia, but I imagine is that a listing of music or teachers or tutors?
Oh, no.
Anything?
Yeah, it's like yellow pages. So it's So there's that. I mean, it's not as effective as it used to be, I think, because of Google.
Yeah.
In fact, I often get calls from yellow pages saying like they're connected with Google now and they try and get your business and try and sort of sell you some stuff. When UK, we've got a site called Gumtree.
Yep, we have that too. Australian's website, yeah. Obviously.
Gumtree got that in the UK. And I think in the US they have Craigslist, I think, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
That's in the UK as well, but it's not as well known. I think, you know, those are sort of directory sort of sites you can just put your advert for music lessons in.
Okay. So for teachers at home kind of sitting there listening or watching this and going, all right, I need some actionable steps, it sounds like one of them would be to find that kind of, that's not a music-specific site, but it's just a general advertising sales site, like Gumtree, Craigslist, Yell, and just get a link on there. Get something out there. Yes, that's an easy first thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, just take an action, because it's so easy to procrastinate and just think, oh, I need to do this. And, you know, you just get like a little sort of a checklist, daily checklist. So this is what I do anyway. I have like a sort of a list of all the, you know, Google, Facebook, LinkedIn, and I just try and make sure each day, or at least two or three times a week, I'm just spending time on these things. So, and over time, you get results.
Okay.
Well, it works. Yeah. I think it's worth it.
I can imagine, because I get a lot of comments on my site still from teachers who feel Facebook is just the biggest waste of time on the planet. It's about teenagers. It's about people telling everyone what they ate for breakfast. It's all that kind of stuff. Now, being a pretty regular Facebooker, and you're the same, I know we'd probably think differently. How would you go about convincing any teachers who are listening that aren't on Facebook what they can actually get from being on Facebook?
Okay, Facebook. Well, I think maybe, Tim, first thing before we talk about is Google's is the first thing to do, I think, before Facebook, my opinion. Because Google is search-based, so someone will go in, like Piano Teachers London or, you know, Piano Teachers Sydney or wherever, and just that's their first port of call. They're actively searching for that. They want a piano teacher, so they'll type it in.
Yep.
So you need to have. So you need to make sure when that someone types that in, that your site comes up, whether that's with SEO, whether you've got some way of having a page where you can, where they type in that Piano Teacher Sydney or something, and you've got those words on your page, so it will appear in the main listings.
Yep.
Or you can do Google AdWords, where you can pay, so your site will appear. If you pay enough, you'll be at the top three listings or at the very, very top of the page in Google, or there's a sidebar on the side, on the side where for other listings.
Okay, so I'm gonna put a pause, a halt on you, because I don't want to rush too fast through this. So I agree. Getting yourself on Google. Let's leave Facebook apart for a second.
Yeah, do Facebook for a second. Yeah. Google's
getting yourself on Google is absolutely vital, and I've seen with my own website how important that is. Obviously, if you can list rank for a search as a piano teacher in Dublin or wherever it is. Mm. You're going to get some people being able to find you. Okay, so if we backtrack from there, though, how do you get Google to list you? What do you need? You must need a website, do you?
Yes, of course. Yeah, you have a website. And then once you've got websites set up, Google should index it. I mean, it might take a week or so, but you can do things to speed it up. I mean, just get a couple of links to your website from Facebook or from Twitter or some other, just get a few. If you've got, if we talked about online directories like Yell or Gumtree, link to your website, a couple of little links, Google will find you, then it'll index your site. Then you want to, first thing I do is the My Business listing. So if you type it, if you type in something like locally, I don't know, like Italian restaurants, London or something, you'll get like some local listings appear. You'll see a little map.
Oh yeah, the map with the places on it. Yeah,
and that's called the seven pack. It used to be. I mean, they are changing this a lot, but that's basically where you've got seven listings. You'll see like letters A, B, C, D, F, G, and so on.
Yeah,
yeah. And so that appears. Now they've been tweaking that Google a lot over the past year or so. So it appears for some words and not others. So you have to test locally. I would just type wherever you're based, just type in keywords which apply to your business, and just see if you can see the map appears and you can see your competition basically.
Okay. So keywords, I've just got to make sure everyone understands what we're talking about. So keywords are things related to your business. So it might be theory, teacher, ABRSM, Melbourne. Yeah. Or it might
what
be
anyone types
pop, jazz. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You can find a list of keywords. Google have some way of doing that where you can see other sort of keywords relate to your business.
Okay.
But what you might find is because the search volumes will be very low, especially if you live in a small town, you're not going to get, when I studied in America, I lived in a place called Kalamazoo. You're not going to get many people typing in piano teachers Kalamazoo each month. You might only get a few. Yeah. That's a great name.
Yeah, Kalamazoo. I picture is a kazoo, of course. That's Kalamazoo. There you go.
Yeah. Great. But it's there. I mean, you might Google. You know, it's worth doing it because the people will be typing this in. So it's worth checking that. Yeah. So you need to find the keywords which people will type in Google to find your business.
Yeah.
Piano teachers Kalamazoo, piano lessons Kalamazoo, for example. You want on your website, you want a page which kind of has these keywords in it. Don't go overboard and just type those words everywhere, like loads and loads of times. Just a little bit in the title and so on. Just have a page, piano lessons Kalamazoo, and you could just talk about, sort of your philosophy on teaching and stuff, and just make sure those words are there. That's one of the first things.
And that then Google then searches the web, it finds that page, it finds that it says piano teachers Kalamazoo, and it starts showing people that page when they search for those words.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
Exactly.
All right, so let's just go back another step and go, okay, how do we create a website or a web page? That sounds like a massively terrifying thing for a lot of people. Obviously, there's one easy solution, and I mentioned it in the pre-roll at the start. Music Teachers Helper gives you a web page, a web presence that's really easy to build. So that's one way to do it. If you're not a member of that site, what's the next easiest way to quickly freely create a web page that Google will search?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, this is a sort of a contentious issue a bit in some ways, because there are sites, Music Teachers Helper, there's these places like Wix and these what is called site builders where you can literally just put up a website quite quickly. Wix.com, I think Yola.com. However, I'm not a huge fan. My first website was with Yola, which is, it's easy to use. You can drag and drop. You can just put things around on the page and create something. But in my opinion, they don't get ranked as well as if you have a proper website, a proper .com. If you've got something like Martin Croston, I don't know, musicteachershelper.com or something like that, or martincroston.yola.com.
Yeah.
It's not going to rank as well. I mean, if you look on any first page of any search term, most of the time you don't see those sites listed. They don't, Google for some reason doesn't rank them as highly.
Okay.
But having said that, they're easy to do. I mean, they're usually cheaper, maybe a little bit cheaper.
Yep.
I would
and
say
a,
if you're going
to good place to start, probably.
Good place I to guess. Start. I would say if you're going to go that route, then I would certainly look at sort of, if you want to rank in Google, I'd certainly look at AdWords, because you know then you're guaranteed to appear. You pay for the click, obviously, and so on.
Okay.
But I wouldn't rely just on SEO. Just wouldn't rely on just your site appearing there.
Okay, so SEO, search engine optimization, for those who haven't heard that phrase before. So that's the idea of setting up a page so that Google indexes it properly for what you want. So what about WordPress? I started with a free WordPress website, and I was able for $20 a year or something make a timtopham.com domain name, and that ranked pretty well. What do you think of WordPress?
Brilliant. I use WordPress for all my websites. It's quite easy to use. I mean, and you can, YouTube's great now for tutorials. You can sort of learn the basics of WordPress probably within a day or two, just to how to set up a website. I use WordPress for all. After I left Yola from my own website, I moved to WordPress and never looked back.
Yeah.
There's all, because it's, you get loads of different themes you can use to create a nice looking website, and you have all these little plugins as well, which give you these little sort of extra sort of things you can use, which are, it's superb.
Great. So look, we'll link to WordPress in the show notes, which I should mention are going to be found at timtopham.com/episode6 for this. So anything that we've been talking about, we'll be noting a link in those show notes. Okay, so we're starting to get an idea. We had step one was get yourself listed on some of those free sites that just advertise things around the place.
Yeah.
Second thing, get an online presence. So whether that's through sort of Wix, Music Teacher's Helper, wherever it is, get yourself online somehow and make sure Google's starting to link to you. That's the kind of next thing. And then you mentioned AdWords. Now, I've been online for a long time. I've never used it. So can you tell people what is Google AdWords?
Right. So we talked before about search engine optimization. When you type in a phrase in Google, you get a listing, usually like 10 or so, with a white background. But you can also have, if it's a term people are bidding on, which means if they want to advertise on those keywords, you'll get a listing of maybe 2 or 3 above the main listings, with a kind of an amber kind of background. And I'm sure everyone's seen this.
Yeah.
And then you get in the side, you get like a sort of sidebar of adverts as well. For example, I mean, you probably find, I would type that in. If you type in, you know, piano teachers Kalamazoo or piano teachers Sydney, I'm pretty sure, I would guess more with Sydney, I would have thought, but you'd find, you'd probably see some of these advertised. Certain things will be more competitive than others. If I type in the UK, for example, like Function Bands London, because I play in bands, I try and use Google a bit with that. Mm. It's tons. I mean, obviously, when there's a lot more competition, the price goes up.
So this is the price you pay to rank someone at the top.
Yeah, you bid basically. It's bidding. So you bid a certain amount to appear on the listings, and the more you bid, the higher your rank. I do like it because I'm personally not a huge fan overall of search engine optimization. It's good to start with, and it's free. But obviously, it takes time to get your site there. Google is instant. You know, you can set up a little campaign and then
AdWords. You mean is instant
AdWords?
Yeah.
And then and then within a day, your site's there. When for your search terms, you're guaranteed that it will appear. Yeah. That your site will appear there. Bit of a learning curve with it to get going, but I've got a couple of tips I can share with you and your listeners.
Well, and I think you actually go into those tips in your book anyway. Google's and AdWords is one of the first things in your book, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's search based. You know, when people are typing in these keywords, they're actively looking for a teacher. They want a solution to their problem. I mean, it can be anything. You know, with anything. You know, and that's why. There's also Bing as well, which is, you know, Bing and Yahoo. They have something as well. It's a similar thing, but the search volume's less. Google should be your first port of call, really, I think.
Yeah. I think it's definitely the go-to place, isn't it?
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. So let's. I think the best thing to do is just say, look, there's going to be more information in your ebook about that, and I want to sort of spend. We could talk for ages about Google and search engine optimization, all that kind of stuff. But look, it can be a steep learning curve. But as you say, you refer to YouTube tutorials. Jump on YouTube, putting in some of these search terms for, you know, how do I set up a WordPress website, or how do I use AdWords? There'll be lots and lots of tutorials, won't there?
Exactly. Yeah, and WordPress is, you know, it ranks well in WordPress sites rank well in Google as well. So
yeah. Okay, so we mentioned earlier some social sites. Let's go back to Facebook now. So let's assume someone's got their site, it's ranking in Google. Let's talk about Facebook.
Okay.
Why should piano teachers be on Facebook? Is it worth it?
It is worth it. You have to sort of test it, but I've wasted quite a bit of money on Facebook, not linked to music teaching, but other things as well. You do have to sort of know what you're doing a little bit, but it is definitely worth it.
You're talking about advertising, right?
I'm going to get straight for advertising. There are, what I'd do first is look for Facebook groups, you know, you look at Facebook groups and see if there's any local kind of groups where people hang out. You know, maybe there's like a New York kind of business group or something, just so you can, where people advertising their businesses or talking about business things, you could try a few of those and see what you get back. So that, and that's free, of course.
Yeah. I'm a massive fan of the teaching groups too. The piano teaching groups on the internet are brilliant. And if there's one thing that I could say to convince any listener who's not on Facebook now to get on Facebook, it's that you pretty much have a community of piano teachers who you can ask any question, you can help them with it. There's a number of groups, and I've got one of my articles that I've previously written is all about Facebook groups. So I'll link to that in the show notes too.
I remember those groups as well. Yeah, I know what you mean. They're good. You can learn a lot of sort of good points and tips there for lots of things, aren't they?
Really, really good. And do I, you know, when I start a profile, do I have to share everything about myself? And do I have to look at everyone's, you know, telling me about what they ate for breakfast and what their name of the cat is and all that kind of stuff?
There's certain things, I think there's certain settings you can have where you can choose who sees your sort of updates. You can, I think it's like everyone or friends or then, and friends of friends, I think. Like, I think they're the three options.
Yeah,
I think, I mean, Facebook, again, a bit like Google, they're updating things. And I think more recently I've seen something on their sort of the options menu where it says like news feed preferences. So you can choose what you see in your profile. So you can tick, if you join loads of groups, for example, you can make sure which ones you see in your like news feed.
Right. Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's really good.
I only took this about a week ago. So they're obviously just testing things. So you can, otherwise you just end up seeing nothing from your friends and just tons of things from your
groups. Or vice versa. Depending on what Facebook decides to do. Exactly. It can be hard to get your head around. But look, I'd say for anyone that isn't on Facebook, just set up a profile. It's all free and connect to a piano teaching group. There's, I'll link to the list of them. Connect to them, get involved in them, and you don't have to worry about people knowing about you. You can remain private. You know, you don't have to share too much information, and it's just a great way to communicate when you're stuck in a piano studio all day. Spend an hour there, and you're suddenly connecting to everyone else. It's great, I think.
Exactly. It's great.
Okay, so let's talk now about advertising on Facebook and whether that's actually worth it.
It is. As I said, Google I would definitely do first, but Facebook is worth it as well. You'd need a Facebook page. First, you'd set up a Facebook page.
Different to a profile, is it?
Yeah. Well, sorry, Tim. You talk about just a Facebook profile first, are you?
Yeah. Well, I think for teachers, probably they would build a personal profile. I would guess.
Okay.
First.
Yeah. Do that first. Yeah. Of course. So, I mean, I'd imagine most of our listeners have a Facebook profile anyway. But if they haven't, then you literally go to Facebook.com, and the first thing it asks you is to register a profile if you haven't got one. Do that first, you know, get your basic details on there, choose what you want to share, you know. Then you want to sort of set up a separate page for your business. That's what I would do. So, you know, I've got Martin Croston, pianist. You can set one up. I think you just create a page. There's an option on Facebook where you can create a page, and you can just create a sort of a business page to represent your business.
So that might be, you know, Tim Topham Piano Studio or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool. Okay. And so what do I put on there? Do I have to keep posting to it, or like, what do I do?
Up to you. I mean, yeah, obviously the more, it's a balance, isn't it? I don't think once you created a page, obviously the main website from there, write a little bit of blurb about your business and where you're based and so on. Then you want to invite, I'll start with your friends and family. Invite as many friends and family as you've got to like your page.
Yep.
Get the number of likes up. And then, then just start promoting sort of bits of content. Maybe you can share some, if you've got a piano teaching studio, just share some YouTube clips of some performances you like or something and so on. What would be really effective? I don't know. We'll talk about YouTube later. Actually,
yeah.
Let's come to then and stop that. And then just start. Starting to post some content to that, and then to boost the number of likes, to increase it. There are other things you can do, such as advertising, which you might get to.
Yeah. In a minute. So advertising means on Facebook at least that you pay to show up in other people's feed.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You might see you get some on the right hand side. Well, assuming you're logging in on assuming you're viewing it on a tablet or your PC, you'll see some adverts on the right hand side in the right hand column, and then you'll see some in the news feed itself. So you could be reading like what your mate had for breakfast in one thing, and the next thing down you'll see something like, "Oh, are you in debt or something?" Or click those, you know. Because what they do is when you see something like that, they've got their own way of searching for people they think it will be useful for.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I've heard that. And look, I don't want to go too in depth into Facebook advertising because I think it's not likely many teachers would be looking for that right now. But one big advantage I've noticed is that, because Facebook knows so much about us in regard to what we like and what we watch and everything, if you do choose to do Facebook advertising, you can target, you know, men aged between 30 and 35 who live in your town who like 10-pin bowling and go to the movies. You know, it's unbelievable.
It's frightening. Yeah. Absolutely frightening. I mean, I read a book on sort of Facebook advertising recently, and it's frightening actually how much they do know about it. You know, every time you upload pictures and stuff, are they, you know, it's all they find out so much about you. But you're exactly right, and you can go as narrow as you just that example you just said, Tim. You can go as narrow as you like. I would say to be successful with Facebook advertising, it's all about targeting. So literally, I had some good results with for example, you could target, say, young professionals in your town who want to learn an instrument, you know, maybe accountants, solicitors or lawyers or something. You could just target them. Maybe they want just have a hobby in their extra free time. You could target retired people, for example. You could target mums of kids. You know, you can target that as well, who want their kids to have lessons. And then you just need to get the right message to draw them in effectively.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Yeah, but I must say personally, I found it quite difficult to.
It is Google first. Google first.
Yeah. And let's not overwhelm everyone. And by the way, one thing you mentioned before was how much Google knows about you. Google knows about you as well, but how much Facebook knows about you. I don't want that to put people off having a Facebook profile, because you know, if people are timid and a little bit worried about Facebook knowing a lot about you, really, when you set up your profile, you only need to put in the basics, and you know, you don't have to share that to everyone, and you know, you can keep things more or less to yourself while still engaging in some of these discussion groups and things, can't you?
Yeah, that's what I've done. I mean, I think my basic profile, only my friends can see sort of say photos of myself and my friends or something. Some people are too open; they let everyone sort of share, but that's not for me. I personally, you know, no phone numbers, anything. I just keep it all, to the minimum. I think that's sensible as well.
Yeah, I agree. And is there more on Facebook advertising if people are interested in your ebook?
I include it. I say Google first, then I got a chapter on Facebook. We talk about Facebook pages, groups, and then particular Facebook advertising. So fantastic. I got some advice there on how to find students that way. Yeah.
Great. All right. Now, there's a number of other social sites: Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, Instagram. Like the list is kind of endless. And I imagine a lot of people's heads just kind of explode after just one of those. is it important to be current in some of those other sites if you really want to build this presence online and get your name out there and get more students?
Yes. Of the ones you just listed, Twitter, I've never had much for myself, many positive results with Twitter. I think you need a huge following to make that work. And well, for me, it just hasn't worked out. LinkedIn is brilliant. That should be, if you've got Google and Facebook, LinkedIn should be your third one. It's brilliant, LinkedIn.
Because so what's LinkedIn for people that aren't on it?
LinkedIn is a website for it's social media, you know, like Facebook, but it's more for business model for people, and it has similar things to Facebook. You've got groups and so on, you know, groups and basically it's almost like you can, and when you set up a profile in LinkedIn, it's almost like a online kind of resume or CV for yourself, you know, so you can put your qualifications, your work experience and so on, and you can sort of connect with sort of like-minded sort of like-minded people or other musicians. It's very, I found it very effective because you can, using LinkedIn, you can approach, for example, say, you can search for, say, music teachers in your town, maybe band directors of ensembles. You can target them. You can approach them and get in touch and say, "Oh, I'm a teacher. Do you have any of your students want piano lessons?"
Yeah.
It's a great way. It's often with email, it can be things get lost or they're not, it goes into a spam folder. With LinkedIn, you know, it's sent directly and you're dealing with people who are generally quite open as well. I found LinkedIn users to networking with people.
Yeah, I've found the same on myself. I've made some good connections on LinkedIn with other teachers, in all sorts of countries, in all sorts of positions. It's a little bit, it is quite, I don't know how to quite explain the difference between Facebook and
LinkedIn. I know, yes.
But it's a bit more, it is professional, I guess. And
yes, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it'd be worthwhile, even if you just set up a profile, a basic profile to start with, you can just explore it once a week, jump on, see what's happening and get a feel for it. It might be something for you, it might not be. And I guess the same goes with Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Once you start up a LinkedIn profile, what you could do is you can put in your email address. After you set up your profile, you put enter your email address and it will search your email contacts and see if any of those are on LinkedIn. So they're people you can first, just to get a face, just to get a first few connections.
Fantastic. That's good.
Yeah, that's good. LinkedIn, recommend it.
Sure. All right, and I guess one of the things you then talk about in your book is YouTube. You mentioned it before.
Yes.
Now, I think a lot more piano teachers will be familiar with this because I think we all use it in our lessons, music teachers generally. We use it in lessons. I think probably a larger percentage of us would have posted to it than we might have posted to other social media. So can you tell us a little bit about how teachers can use YouTube to promote their studio?
Good. You can... Tate talked about earlier with Google and keywords and so on. What you can do is you can create a video called, say, Piano Teachers Kalamazoo or, Piano Lessons Kalamazoo. You can create a video promoting your business and link to your website at the end, basically. That's one of the first things you can do.
Okay.
Again, with your keywords, make sure it's in the title when you create a YouTube video. And you can make sure you can, and there's tags as well at the bottom when you're creating a video. You can put those keywords in there and in the description. But you can go beyond that. I mean, that could be a basic video just saying, look, this is me, I'm a piano teacher, click here for lessons.
You're saying, the face, someone's take
yeah,
care
yeah.
of themselves?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe talk. Yeah, my name's Martin Cross and I'm offering piano lessons, and then just have a link to your website at the end.
Yeah.
But video is so powerful. I mean, I'm sure you agree with this, that you can do, you can do so much with it. You could, for example, maybe show an example lesson or something, or if you get providing permission of the student, why not show yourself teaching a student or something, showing how you teach and show yourself performing, show the student performing.
Yeah.
Share some tips. Why not share some little tips or something, and then at the end of the video, click here to learn more. Visit my page if you want lessons. It's so powerful, so effective.
And then that can link to the website that you've set up, which will add more information and your contact details, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, look, if I haven't never done this before, I might be a bit timid in front of the camera. You've just kind of got to go for it, don't you? Just give it.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to. I mean, I guess for the first go, you're a bit shy about using it. Showing your face to the camera, there are certain websites where you can create what's the name of the site? I'm trying to remember it. Oh, yeah, Animoto.com
right.
is a site where you can create like a little, you can create a video with you just put in a bit of text and it kind of just scrolls through little clips of text, like a sort of I don't know what the word is, with little different captions basically.
Okay.
And it has some music going along with it and they look quite professional. So you can start with something like that. So you don't need to say anything or or show your face, or if you don't want to, but okay, that frequency one.
So that was animoto.com. We'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, yeah, that's quite a good site. They look really professional as well.
Okay, cool. I didn't know about that one. I'll check that one out for sure. And what about, you know, do I need an expensive camera and lighting? And, like, it's not going to cost me lots of money, is it? How's it work?
No, I don't think so. No, you can just you can just with your camera on your, you know, on your laptop. It can do the job. But probably if you're going to be filming yourself playing, or you only show a student playing, you probably need some sort of camera, but they're not as expensive as they used to be. Really, you can get that quite affordable. You could get like a cheapish camera and just have like a little mic or something set up, you know, or something little, one of those little sound recorders.
Yeah, and even iPhones are getting pretty good these days, aren't they?
I know, it's remarkable. Exactly. Yeah, just something, just to show that. Yeah, and then you want to take that video. Still put that video on your website. You want to, what you say, embed that video, which means you put that video in as many places on the internet as you can. So if you can, some online directory, if it gives you the option. I know Gumtree does. It gives you the option of embedding a YouTube video. Put it there.
Yeah, sure. It's a good idea.
Just spread it around. Don't just leave it on YouTube. Put it as many places as you can.
Yep. And so, yes, you can put a link to that, or you can actually kind of embed it, as you say, using the code that YouTube gives you, chuck it on your homepage. It's a great source of promotion. Yeah, you're right. Look, I think video is the way to go. I'm trying to do more and more video. It's ranks highly. People like it. It's engaging.
Yeah.
It seems to be the way to go. I think you're right on the money there.
Mm.
Cool. Okay. So I think we've covered, like, it's been really, really brief overview, I know, but hopefully it's enough to start getting teachers to kind of think about some of the options. You put some, you know, you've put a lot of thought into this over the years. Have you got any other kind of points that we haven't covered that you'd like to sort of remind people of or talk about?
Mainly it's just doing it, take action, because it's so easy to put things off and say, I'll do it tomorrow. Just if you can just spend, say, put aside 15 minutes a day, just doing this marketing thing. It's something we don't do as musicians enough, I feel. Another reason why I sort of created this book, Tim, is I've studied in the UK and I've studied in the US, and both courses, I did a master's in America, great course, loved it, brilliant, and in the UK as well, but it always felt like you're learning how to be a performer, a composer. But it's like the course finishes and bang, welcome to the wide world. You need to, you know what I mean? And there was no kind of business kind of, well, I think we had one little lecture or something when I was in America on something about what, you know, what you can do just to set up a little business or something. But it was so minor. I think it should be a bigger part. So I don't think there's not enough sort of tools out there for musicians and music teachers to sort of find students and so on. I would just create a 15 minutes a day, create a little action plan. What I do is I have a little spreadsheet in Excel, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I just put like what I'm going to do each day, a little bit of it, even 15 minutes. Everyone can find that time, whether it's Google one day and then Facebook another.
Okay.
One tip I would share is try and don't spread yourself too thin. I know we've talked a lot today about Google, Facebook, LinkedIn, and things like this. Don't start off, if you can, just try and focus on one thing for a while and then move on. It's better to sort of learn something well, one thing, moving on. You don't want to just do a bit of everything and get your, you know, information overload. You know?
You'll never keep your head around it, will you? Yeah.
I'm still learning lots now as well. Yeah. It's tough.
I think that's a really valuable takeaway tip, or two tips actually. Take action, so just do something and set aside a little bit of time, but don't try and do a million things at once. And I think it almost goes for a lot of what I talk about in these podcasts. You know, I'm getting lots of great ideas from all the people I speak to, and sometimes I can imagine teachers going, "Oh my God, it's just too much to do. I can't do it. I can't be bothered." just take one idea. So just, you know, go to Gumtree, set up a profile, do that. Mm-hmm. There's one little thing you've done.
Exactly.
Have a look at WordPress, or, you know, check into Music Teacher's Helper, see how it works. You know, just try a few little things and see what happens. I think they're great tips. So look, I'm really excited that you've made a really kind offer to all the listeners for a discount on your ebook. So can you just tell us what the offer is there?
Yeah, so my book is normally priced at $27, and it includes two little bonuses as well. The main offer expands on a lot of what we talked about today.
Yep.
And the bonuses, one of the bonuses is a tip on how to write ads more effectively.
Awesome.
And another bonus is like a little sort of cheat sheet sort of where it lists about what you can sort of do each day. It's like a flow chart.
Okay.
And as an offer for your listeners, Tim, I'm happy to share that little cheat sheet as a free giveaway.
Great. So we'll pop that in the show notes. You can have a look below below the show notes. That's at timtopham.com/episode6.
And so the book's normally priced $27, but I'd be happy to sort of reduce that to $17 as an offer for you and your listeners.
Awesome. That's really, really good. So thank you. We'll put the link to how you actually get Martin's ebook. I can highly recommend it. I'll also put a link to my blog post about it, which was How to Earn More Money from Your Music Teaching Business. That was the title of my blog post about his book. Really, really great resource. And as Martin says, he goes into lots more detail about these things that we've been talking about. Now, Martin, how do people find you if they've got questions or they want to know a little bit more about you and your background and that sort of thing?
Yeah, best thing, get in touch through my website. Again, I'm sure you can put this on your webpage. Musicteacherinfo.com is my main website, which offers some. There's a couple of articles in there which give some tips. A couple of things we haven't talked about today. We've mainly talked online tips today, Tim, haven't we? But there's an article there which lists some offline tips there.
Great.
And so on. So yeah, that's the best place. MartinCroston.com is my main website, but best one is probably Music Teacher Info to get in touch because it's related to music teaching.
Brilliant. And if we want you for a wedding or an event,
yeah, I'll fly over to Australia. Pleasure. Any chance to visit Oz? My uncle lives out there, so I'd love to. Any chance to go out there? And he lives in Brisbane. I'd like to go out there and play.
very nice place. Well, yeah, yeah. Look forward to welcoming you over here one of these days.
It'd
be really, really good. Okay, so just to wrap up, the show notes for this episode, timtopham.com/episode6. That's the number 6. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thanks so much, Martin, for your time.
Pleasure.
Really, really great speaking with you.
Thank you very much, Tim.
No worries. All right, everyone. So look, I'll look forward to seeing you in episode 7. And make sure if you've got any questions for Martin or me about this episode, I'm more than happy to answer them. On the show notes page, just scroll down to the bottom and you'll see a comment section. So looking forward to seeing you online soon. Thanks very much.